Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got onto the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of Christ. Please be seated. I am going to invite you to take a moment now and to answer a question for yourself. You don't have to tell us. There won't be a test. Well, there might be a little test at the end. We'll wait and see. But just to consider this. What is the experience that shaped your life? That's a nice, easy one with no time to consider in advance or anything. But what is the experience that shaped your life? And when you've identified that for yourself, just consider briefly, what kind of time was it? What was going on in your world, in your own life? Were there troubling times? Was there a crisis? Were things peaceful? Was loneliness dominant? We could make the list quite long. But just a sense of what was happening that may have influenced in some way how that decisive event had come to be. And you may keep your responses in mind to whatever degree you find appropriate as you hear the next bits. Because I want to talk about, reflect on the gospel for today. Of course, it's quite a familiar one. I'm reasonably confident you all have heard it before. It may not be so. Anyway, they had a day. We kind of have to go back to last week to get the context. context here, they have a wedding day with Jesus preaching and teaching and addressing the Greek crowd. They had to feed the bunch, which they did in abundance, as we heard about last week. And then Jesus said to them, look, you go ahead on, you get in the boat and go. I'll catch you later. And when Jesus had bid his farewells to the crowd and got them all on their way, in whatever way that was, he had a time of prayer for himself up in the hills. As seems to have been the case frequently when we hear about Jesus' times of prayer, he loses track of time. The whole night is gone, and it's early morning. The boat throughout the night has been getting quite beaten down, in fact, by the waves. It was about 6 a.m., the fourth watch, as it said in the translation I was using this week, and they were terrified. The disciples were just terrified. Hard to imagine, maybe, but think again of the most terrifying you can think of, and they were at least that, if not more. They had been beaten down by the incessant beating on the boat, and now they have a ghost appearing to them, just what they needed. Jesus seemed to sense what was up. And he said, simply, take heart, it is I. Have no fear. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. I hope that has at least a little ring of familiarity for you. Remember how often Jesus spoke that, I have no fear, I'm here, it's me, you have no fear. The tomb, the garden, the upper room, the events around the resurrection, which of course is the source of the no fear. It resonates frequently in the gospel message, in the words attributed to Jesus, and maybe in our own lives here and there. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. Peter, the old Peter. I always love Peter. I'll get to that in a bit. But Peter sees what's going on, rises to his responsibility as a leader, and says, asks Jesus, why don't you invite me out there, come and walk on the water with you? Jesus said, no big deal, come. So Peter, I think he thought it was a bigger deal than Jesus did. But anyway, he did climb out of the boat and start on the walk towards Jesus. And then he heard the wind. He saw the raging waters. He thought, what on earth am I doing here? And he began to sing. Had that feeling, what on earth am I doing here? And begin to sing. Well, that's what happened for Peter. And his words were, Lord, save me. Now, it was very different from the petition we hear frequently in our liturgies, you know, our plea for God to save us, to give us what's needed, to share the fullness of life which we long for. But this saved me as a, well, it's a big time, it saved me. Of course, we had fear. This was Peter, you know? He was a leader. So his fear was more than simply drowning. His fear was around everything for which he lived and for which he stood. Remember, Peter, so confident. Remember Peter, the one first with all the answers, whether they were right or wrong. Remember Peter, as I say, the leader. I mean, as a preacher, there are the other preachers in the community here, and I know there are. How many have achieved 3,000 souls converted by one sermon? Hands up. Not mine either. But that's the kind of reputation, that's the kind of sense of being with which Peter lived. So coming to that kind of failure was tough. And seeing it ending like this was even tougher. Everything was going down as he sank into the water. And Jesus reached out, caught him, and said, "O man of little faith, why do you doubt? O man of little faith, why do you doubt?" We often hear that little phrase, "ye of little faith," in serious conversations sometimes, and playful ones often. I'm not too keen on saying doubt makes you bad or whatever. But in this case, I guess Peter needed to hear something. What have you been up to? Remember how differently Thomas was treated and shown his sides and his hands and so on. And in that restoration to the community, found so much life. That's the kind of Jesus I think of in this setting. But in this case, there was admonition. "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when those words come to us, or if we think about them, I like to invite consideration to remember the gifts. Yes, each one of us have received so many of them. And remind ourselves that when we talk about faith, we're not talking about, you know, acceptance of a particular doctrine or a set of words put together or whatever. But in fact, we are talking about exercising those gifts faithfully, using them appropriately, doing so without fear. Have no fear. Or do you, like Peter, sometimes forget? Have no fear. You of little faith, why did you doubt? Things settled down when they got in the boat. Not quite sure how they managed that, but they did. And when it happened, those in the boat worshiped Jesus with the words, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, You're right, they're familiar words. But do you know that there's only one other time they are spoken by Jesus? And that time is at the lips of the centurion who had watched the experience of Jesus from his kidnapping through his trial, through his sentencing, coming to at the time of death. They'd seen all of that happen, and they'd seen it, as Matthew liked to do in his gospel, all the paraphernalia and goings on that went with it, leading up to the splitting of the temple and the earthquakes, which seemed to have got them. And with all those experiences, they were filled with awe. And they too said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." Both of them are mighty powerful experiences. The crucifixion, that's all they knew of it at the time. And this experience of being rescued from their fear at the sea. So, that's the story. You can imagine what the key event I am thinking of would be in this story. It may have been more dramatic, it may have been less dramatic than your experience, but there it was. And so, I have no idea what they did with it, but when I read it as itself, and read some others' thoughts and reflections on the matter. Well, I thought that would be something that shapes one's life. There were five statements made through the story. They're all in quotes as they were written for us. And they are this: "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. Come." The one that isn't from Jesus' lips is, "Lord, save me." O man of little faith, why did you doubt? And finally, that of the whole group, as they gathered, the whole leadership of the church, excluding all the women, "Truly," they said, "you are the Son of God." I don't know if that provides some impact on your understanding of that key event. Do any of those words of so many different feelings and understandings come to you? Do any of them fit? And if so, where do they fit? And finally, what do they call you?
God, creator of all, we join together in prayer with gratitude for your love. May we be enriched by the rituals we have inherited that anchor and renew us as we say, "Loving God, hear our prayer." We pray for peace and justice in the world and for care of the earth, remembering how everything is connected, including ourselves and our intentions. Help us to be clear and aware and open to inner peace. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Canada. Inspire our leaders to acknowledge the goodness of humankind and to make compassionate decisions. Support us as we seek ways to be effective citizens. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our reconciliation with the truths of our Indigenous history so that we can learn and mend and journey forward together. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the church worldwide and nationally, and for Catherine, our bishop. We are thankful and ask your blessings for those who minister at St. John's, including Gary, Alan, Pat, Christina, Nicholas, Carrie, Witt, Barb, Monica, Chris, and all volunteers. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for children, young people, and their families. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the sick, especially David and Alice. We pray for the loved ones and their caregivers. We ask that your love and comfort be felt by all of us and those close to our hearts. We pray for the departed and all those who mourn them. Loving God,
hear our prayer.
Spirit of generosity, we come to you with hearts overflowing with gratitude for your abundant creation. As we awaken each morning, help us to remember this day is a gift, this breath is a grace, this life a wonder. Remind us with every flower we see, every act of kindness, every moment of connection to something so much bigger than ourselves, to whisper, thank you. Cultivate in us a sense of awe and trust in your lavish grace, that we may not be afraid. Let each word of thanks we offer expand our hearts until the light inhabits us and we know love as our sustenance. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yes, you.